perfect in all of his ways. Father, we pray this morning that you open our eyes, hallelujah, yes, to your perfection. Yes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord God, to your goodness. Yes. Open our eyes, Lord God, to how you've been taking care of us, Lord God, and guiding us and leading us. Open our eyes, Lord God, to who you are and who we are in you, Lord God. Father God, right now this morning as we begin our worship service, Lord God, a time to look at you and look towards you. We thank you, Lord God, for dispatching the angels to be here in this building with us today. Let us hear what we need to hear. Hallelujah. Let us be sensitive to your leading and your guidance. Let us be sensitive to your voice here today. Father, we love you and we adore you. And we surrender all to you today. And we just simply say, have your way. Have your way. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you, music team. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. Have your way. Is God having his way in your life? Hallelujah. As the music team takes their seat, I want to ask the audio team there if they would just set up 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 on the screen for us this morning. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. I hope you're ready for whatever God's getting ready to do next. Are you ready? Yes. Hallelujah. I know some of you say, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Whoever's running the screen, it says, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, everybody say, that's me. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hallelujah. In our culture, listen, we have a lot of religion, but not a lot of people who have experienced the newness of Christ. Hallelujah. That scripture says that when you become a child of God, everything about you become new. Are you with me? Amen. Everything about you become new. Listen, if you're still cussing up the kitchen floor or whatever you're doing, chances are you don't have what you think you got. If you're still running behind somebody that's not your spouse, chances are you don't have what you got, what you think you got. If you're still, listen, battling with getting drunk every other Thursday, chances are you don't have what you think you got. But the good news is that you can get it. Amen? How many believe that? Look, the scriptures come directly from God. Amen. You believe that? Yes. Well, this is God speaking. And he said, if anybody be in Christ, if anybody be saved, if anybody be a new creature, if anybody has surrendered to God, they are a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new to you. Time is running out. Time is running out. God is not looking for good church members. He's looking for people that'll just surrender their way to him, surrender their life to him so that they can become new creatures. And you and I that have given our lives to Jesus Christ must pass that word on to as many people as we know. We must intercede and pray for them. We must ask God to just deliver them, to draw them in. Most of us, not all of us, but most of us won't totally surrender to God until we're in a bad situation, until things just not going right. I know that what it was for me, especially as you become older, you know, you get stuck in your ways. You get locked in there. The Bible says, if a man be in Christ, however, he's a new creature. He's a new creature. Hallelujah. That means God's in control of your life. God leads you. God guides you. The old hungers that the enemy used to make you have, they're no longer there anymore. They're not there. They're not there. You say, why are you telling me this, preacher? Listen, because I don't know how many chances I'm going to have to tell it. So I tell it, and I continue to tell it. There's a reality of this thing. Don't fall in love with religion. You will probably wind up in hell. Amen? And God don't want anybody going to hell. Now, God has brought us here on planet Earth. I know you don't understand it because I don't understand it. He has brought us here with a purpose in mind. You don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss that. But you got to become a new creature for that to manifest in your life. Hallelujah. Once again, God's not looking for good people. He's looking for people that will just surrender to him and mean it. Mean it. Mean it. Just mean it. See, when things get worse, bad enough for you, you'll give your life to the Lord and you'll mean it. You'll mean it. Hallelujah. You'll mean it. You just mean it. I've told my story over and over and over. I told part of it anyway. I ain't going to tell you all of it. But one day I was an alcoholic. One day I was a womanizer. One day I was a devoted gambler. But then I gave my life up to Jesus Christ. And the next day, everybody say the next day. I think it was only the next day I experienced it, because when I gave my life up to him, it was after midnight. The only thing I got to do then is just go to sleep. But the next day, when I woke up, I was a whole new creature. A whole new creature. That's been 45 years. Did I do anything to make the change? Did I in the natural? No. No, I didn't do anything. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But I was sincere when I asked God to come in and take over. That's all that required. And when you turn your life over to God, he takes that old spirit away and he gives you a whole new spirit. Amen. And that's why the scriptures can say, if a man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. New creatures. So if you're still battling with whatever that you know is not of God, listen to me. You need to get with God and say, God, look, I'm sorry. Please, please, please do whatever. I'm ready to totally surrender to you and let you do whatever you need to do. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old has passed away and everything has become new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is a good God all the time. I'm going to tell you something. You wouldn't want the old Dan to preach to you. And then you pay him to do it? There ain't no way. But the new Dan is a different creature. Not by choice. It just comes with salvation. But you got to let go. You just got to let go. Look at somebody and tell them, you got to let go. God is a good God all the time. You know, today I want to just share with you a very brief sermon on serving to win. God said, if you've given your life to him, it's now time to step up our serving. And we need to serve with the idea of winning all the time. God has placed you here, listen, not just for you. Not just for you, but for all the people your life is going to touch. Amen? This ministry has been in existence, I think, how long, Miss Eva? 32 years? So 93, yeah, 32 years. And during those 32 years, let me tell you something. A lot of people's lives have been touched. Amen? Whether you know that or not, a lot of people in this building and out of this building, a lot of people's lives have been touched. Now, did I plan that? No. I didn't plan that. Your life has been touched somewhere, somehow. Amen. Did I plan that? No. But my responsibility was to just give my life, one person's life, to Jesus Christ, and I became a new creature, and then all these lives got touched. Amen. What would happen? Come on now. What would happen if we let go and let God? How many lives do God wants to touch through all of us? Sometimes we sit in the pew and we say, well, you know, I'm not this, I'm not that, I don't have a title, I don't want to have that. But let me tell you something. Once you give your life to Jesus Christ, hallelujah, God will use you how he wants to use you. Amen. You don't need a title. God may not even be thinking about you. He may be thinking about those 50 people that he wants to touch through you. We're so big-headed, we think it's all about us. But it's not about us. That night when I reached out to God and I said, God, you've got to help me. Listen, do you think I was thinking about you? I don't think so. I was thinking about me. Because I didn't even understand God's plan. But that night when I reached out to God, God was thinking about you. God was thinking about all the people that you and I have touched together. We think it's about us. It's not about us. It's about all those people. All those people that our lives have to touch. Once you give your life to Jesus Christ, if one other person's life is changed, then it's worth it. Amen? It's worth it. We've got to get out of this religious thinking. See, when that religious thinking, only thing that matters to you is that other people think you're good. Hallelujah. It don't matter what other people think. Amen? Not far as controlling your life. What matters is that you are saved. What matters is what God thinks. What matters is what you're able to do in the spirit and in the natural. Are you ready for God to use you? Is anybody here ready for God to use them? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God says it's time to start serving to win. And today we want to just talk about getting started with this mentality of serving to win. God is a good God all the time. If God never does anything else for me, hallelujah, he's done more than I could ever even imagine. And I'm not talking about just physically, but even spiritually, and I thank him for it. And the same for you. Hallelujah. One of these days, our eyes are going to wake up to what this thing is really all about. And our lives are going to change. From this day forward, we must have what I call a paradigm shift. A paradigm shift in our thinking about serving in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. See, when you talk about serving God, you really have to have a mentality, whatever you tell me to do. I'm not just talking about within these walls, even outside, even on your job, even wherever you're at. You got to see yourself as a servant of God. Whatever God gives you the peace to do, that's what you need to be willing to do. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. See, we must understand and believe that we're serving for God and not for man. We're serving for God and not for power. We're serving for God and not for personal benefit. That's how our mindset has to be. It's all about serving to win. We must serve with the intention of winning for Christ. That's what this thing is all about. It's really not about you and not about me. It's about winning for Christ. The devil's going to do everything he can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything he can. Everything he can. I'm laughing here because I'm thinking about what's the culture in which you and I are living in right now. Amen. The last 4 years in our presidency, you saw some crazy stuff going on. Things that were designed to bring this country down. Now, if you didn't see that, you missed something. Amen? We saw some things designed to bring this country down. Then we also saw, listen to me, this is not a political speech, but let me tell you, we also saw the hand of God moved when an assassin tried to kill Trump. Amen. Are you with me? Yes. I'm not saying that Trump deserved to stay alive. I have no idea. But the only other candidate against what was happening before was Trump. So you and I saw God's hand. Did everybody see that on TV? We saw God's hand in less than half of an inch. But God. God said, no, 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 no. I got to do something else. I can't let you keep going the way you're going. I've got to do something else because of something else I've got planned down the road. Hallelujah. If that didn't convince you, hallelujah. That was not about President Trump. That was about the will and the way and the word of God. That was about God intervening. If you've never seen it before, amen. You were alive to see that. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. God is God. Don't be blind to what's happening around you. Amen. That was not about your president. That was about God's plans. And you and I saw it with our own eyes. Hallelujah. You see, we must be like Joshua, who accomplished all that God had assigned for him. I want to take you to Joshua chapter 11, verse 15. And that scripture reads this way. As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua. And so did Joshua. In other words, God told Moses what to do. Moses told Joshua what to do. And when Moses told Joshua what to do, Joshua did it. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. I'm wondering, see, you and I are going to die if the rapture don't come first. I'm wondering when we do die, we will leave here, listen to me now, with the mindset that I've done all that God has chosen for me to do. Think about that for a moment. Not all that you want to do, but all that God has chosen me to do. Hallelujah. The Bible said that Joshua did all that he was commanded to do. That's what this whole thing is all about. Amen. You and I are now living to serve the Lord. We're not living for ourselves. But the good news is, as you serve God, you, your individual self, will be blessed. Amen. You'll be blessed just by doing what God tells us to do. I want to take a look at our theme verses for serving. And I'm going to have to take you to 1 Corinthians 9, 24, and we're going to read down to 27. This is the verses God gives us. He starts off in verse 24. He says, know you not that they which run in a race run all? Everybody's in the race. That's what it means. But one received the prize. Only one going to win most of the time. He says, so run that you may obtain the prize. Run as if you're the only, come on, run like you've got to win this thing. Run. And then in verse 25, it says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Now he's talking about in the natural race. Those men and women that run in the natural race, they're trying to get a natural crown, a natural award, a natural trophy or whatever. But he goes on to say, but we're looking for an incorruptible, hallelujah, crown. A crown that doesn't go away. We're looking for God to say, well done, my good and that's what this whole thing to do is all about. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry about pleasing the next person. Please God, and you will please the next person. Amen? Amen. That's just the way it works. And then verse 26 says, I therefore so run. This is the way I run. Not as uncertainty, so I fight. I, not as one that beateth the air. I'm not just doing something to do something. No, 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 no. I'm serving to win. That's what he's saying. I'm serving to win God. See, when you experience that spirit of salvation, nothing is up to you anymore. Nothing is up to you. That's why I'm constantly telling you to follow what? Follow the peace. Follow the peace. That's probably how you and I are going to know the voice of God better. I'm not saying that's the only way, but that's probably the most common way that you and I will know what he's saying to us. We need to live like that. We need to open up our understanding and realize that we're living for the Lord. Amen. But sometimes things get tough. And we get this thing in our mind, I'm just trying to make it good for me. No, you're not living for you anymore. Hello? You're not living for you anymore. Amen. You're living for the Lord, and you need to serve to win. Win what? Win whatever he's called you to do. Amen. Well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a deacon. I'm not a pastor. Look. Come on now. Yes, yes. God and our culture has allowed us to create titles. It's okay. Nothing wrong with that. People do a certain job based upon that title or whatever. But God's not limited to those titles. Amen. You ought to get in the book of Acts where they chose these folks to wait on tables. We call them deacons. Amen. But when you read that book of Acts, you find out that those folks weren't just waiting on tables. They were doing some miraculous things. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. As a child of God, you're not limited to what you can do. Hello? Amen. See, anybody sitting right here in the audience who's confessing salvation, you know, God could wake you up tomorrow morning and say, listen, get in your car and ride to Raleigh. I want you to put hands on the governor. You say, well, they're not going to let me get that close. Go put hands on the governor and pray for his life. See, God's not looking for you to make that happen. He's just looking for you to have a willing heart. You don't even have to understand it. Now, you know if God were to say something like that, listen, there'd be so much hesitation. There'd be so much hesitation. You'd be saying in your own mind, who am I? Who am I? I can't even get close to the government. Who am I? See, but it's not a matter of who you are. Because the good news is you're not going to have to do the work anyway. Oh, I know you don't understand that. But all you got to do is follow the peace. And those doors just going to open. They're just going to open. Hallelujah. God's good. We've got to rise above this just going to church. We come because God has told us to deny not ourselves coming together. There's something happens when we come together. Amen. But this walk with God is much bigger than that. And it's a 7-day, 24-hour thing, not just a couple of hours, one day a week. God wants us to serve to win. Hallelujah. And then verse 27 says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. In other words, I don't let my body just be in control of what I do. God is a good God all the time. See, what I'm saying today, listen, may not resonate with you. May not even make sense to some people. But as you yearn for and as you move closer and closer to God, things are going to start happening in your life, and you're going to start seeing things differently. But you just need to keep in your mind, my whole purpose is to serve God, and I need to serve just like I'm going to win. You can't get in a race with 50 other people, a 50-yard dash, and say, well, I'm going to just do a slow walk today. Well, you just keep doing your slow walk today. You'll never win the crown. You'll never win the crown. Never. So we've got to serve to win. We got to do this thing like it's all our hearts, all our mights, all our souls. Not because the preacher said it. Amen. But it's because it's part of salvation. That's what this whole thing is all about. Paul was committed to serving for Jesus. He was. He was. Now, you got to get in the Word to see Paul's background. Paul was committed to this course of ministry, and he knew that it did not come easily. Sometimes we'd be so afraid, like, I don't want to try that. I'm not going to be successful. People are going to laugh at me. Let them laugh. Long as you could be obedient to God, to His will. Does that make sense to anybody? Hallelujah. Paul's commitment to this course of ministry, for Paul, did not come easily. And for you, it's not going to come easily. Nothing different comes easily. You just got to press your way. Just like that runner that's running. You just got to press your way. When you see somebody, listen, see somebody getting ready to take your crown away from you, you just got to speed it up a little bit better and press your way. For Paul, it required personal discipline, what I call strict training. And it doesn't have to be a formal official training, but but just doing those things that's going to help you to win. Right now in our culture, the way it's going, most of us, listen, not even in our Word on a regular basis. We give priority to other things. Hello. We'd probably all be better off if all of a sudden we got a new national law that says, you must turn in your telephone. You must turn in your iPad. You. Come on now. You. All televisions have been banned from this day forward. We would be better off. I understand the technical end of this thing. I understand it. But most of us don't give time to growing in the Lord. Most of us don't give the adequate time to getting closer to the Lord. God is a good God all the time, is He not? Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Hallelujah. Let me just read this again. It required personal discipline for Paul, like that of an athlete who strove for supremacy in his field. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you got to make up your mind that you're going to win this thing. I made up my mind. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm going to win this thing. I'm going to win this thing. I'm going to serve for God, and I'm going to serve in a manner in which I'm serving to win, not to just make it through. None of us should have the mindset of just making it through. No, I'm going to win. And that means I'm going to accomplish what God has placed me here to accomplish. Period. Period. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. And what I want to do, I want to just look at those passages, this same passage, a little closer. Just a little closer. First of all, that first verse, verse 24, that says, "Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one received the prize? So run that you may obtain." Listen to me, brothers and sisters. We're not in this race in our Christian walk just to be busy. Amen. Let me say that again. We're not in this race just to be busy. We're not. God has a plan and has a purpose. He has something for us to accomplish through Him. He's really going to do the work, but He wants to do it through us. We're serving to win. We're serving to win, which means if there's somebody in our circle of influence that God wants to use us to get to, then our striving is not over till we get to that person. So that person's life changes. Whatever the situation is, we're serving to win, not just to be good people. I told you before, nobody cares really if you are a good person. They will talk about you if they think you're not, but they don't really care. And it doesn't even matter. The only thing that matters is what God cares about. We're serving this thing to win. In our culture now, church is becoming very, very entertaining. And people are seeking entertaining and entertainment. A lot of people go participate in a church service and they get all stirred up, maybe because of the music, maybe because of the speaker, maybe because of the fellowship, whatever. They get all stirred up, but when they leave, they're in the same situation. Nothing really changes. Brothers and sisters, that's entertainment. That's all that is. That's entertainment. God never intended for this thing to be just entertainment for us. Amen. He has a purpose. Hallelujah. And he wants his purpose accomplished. That means we're serving to win. Amen. That's what this whole thing is all about. The prize for Paul was not what I call the temporary crown bestowed by men, but the eternal crown bestowed by Christ. That was his prize, and that's our prize. That's what we'll get. That's what we'll get. What good does it do if 20,000 people here on planet Earth gave you all the applause and whatever and talk about how good you are, but then you wind up in hell? And I bet you get to hell, you have a good story. You say, Lord, I've been delivered here by mistake. Do you know how many people like me? Do you know how many people gave me the awards? And I know what Christ said, depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. I never knew you. God has brought us here for a purpose. Even before we got saved, the purpose was still there. If you want to please God, accomplish the purpose. I know you may not understand all the details of the purpose, but if you just take one step at a time and follow the peace that he gives you today and let that be accomplished, hallelujah, it'll lead you to what your real purpose is. God is a good God all the time, is he not?
Amen.
You know, a lot of times, I know I got to get through this message here, but look, a lot of times, I really believe that when God's hands are upon you, listen, he'll even give you the right mate.
Amen.
He'll give you the right mate. He'll give you what you need. A lot of times we don't realize this is what I need, but because that person is not moving like we're moving or like we want them to move, a lot of times we come in our mind, well, you know what? You've got the wrong person. Devil ain't told you that yet? You've got the wrong person. But in reality, you've got just what you need to win. You've got just what you need to win. God is a good God all the time. Paul's crown would be the consummation of the reward he partially enjoyed. The opportunity to glory before Christ and those who he had been able to win. That was a joy that Paul got. And that's a joy you and I will get too. When you lead somebody to Christ, hallelujah. I can't even describe that feeling. I can't describe that feeling. But we need to put it all in context and understand why it feels so good. It feels so good because that's what you're called to do. There's people in your life I could never touch. I could never get close to, but you can. And you don't have to preach at them. When the opportunity presents itself, just share with them what God done for you. Amen. And when their stuff get bad enough, they're going to want the same thing. And they'll come to you and ask you, well, how do I get it? Well, this is the way you get it. This is the way you get it. We need to stop playing with this thing, folks. The prize for Paul was to daily hear God say. Now, listen to what Paul would hear God say. God would tell Paul, well done, my good and faithful servant. Oh, don't you want to hear God say that? You step out of this world into the world of heaven, and somebody meets you at the gate, and that somebody is God, and God says, well done. Oh, you'll be dancing all over the place. Those poor little clouds can't even hold you up there. Well done, my good and faithful servant. But see, right now, most of us, listen, we just want to win what we want to win. Hello? We just want to do what we want to do. We just want things to line up the way we want them to line up. God has already told us what he expects from us in every area of our lives, including our marriage. He's told us what he wants us to do. That's all we got to do. God is a good God all the time. Every time the devil can succeed in keeping you from doing your best, you lose the race that day. Let me say that again. Every time the devil can succeed in keeping you from doing your best, then you lose the race that day. Hallelujah. How many days you want to keep losing the race? You say, well, what is my best? My best is doing what God tells you to do. Amen. My best is following the peace. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. You don't know where to go. Your best is coming to a mindset of I'm going to totally let go and let God do this thing. And whatever he tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do. I share that story several times now about when I was in a 4-H agent here in the county, and I was that area was new to me, you know. And I asked God, I said, God, what you want me to do? He said, I'll tell you what to do every day. And I said, well, okay, well, suppose I don't hear you say nothing. He said, don't do nothing. We laugh at that because that's not us. We want to do something, right? We want to make things happen. We want to be successful. But I heard God, I heard it just as clear. He said, if I don't tell you to do something, don't do nothing. Amen. And so many days I'd lock my door. I'd kick back in my chair, put my feet on the desk. I'd lock the door and make sure nobody came in there. And I didn't do anything. Nothing. Just laid back, prayed. Listen to a little music, whatever. But in the fullness of time, God made absolutely sure that I looked well in the sight of the environment in which I was in. Amen. He'd always bring success way beyond what they have ever experienced. Amen? It's not about us, brothers and sisters. It's about God. And it's about his plan for our lives. Hallelujah. And look at verse 25 again. Verse 25, 1 Corinthians 9, 25 says, and every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain, what? A corruptible crown. Something you can feel, touch, and that kind of stuff. But we, an incorruptible crown. What you're doing, you listen, what you're doing, you won't get a crown for it every day. But you'll get a crown that's incorruptible. You'll get a crown that doesn't die, doesn't fade away. Hallelujah. You'll get God saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. God is good all the time. They do it, those people that run that race, they do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last for how long? Forever. Forever. You know, many times in my prayer, I ask God, I say, God, when will church people, and I'm talking generically, especially in our culture, when will church people wake up to the reality of what this whole thing is all about? When? We're not club members. Hello? See, there's a club called the Hostie Christian Center. There's a club called Calvary. There's a club called First Baptist. We're not club members. I want you to tell that to somebody right next to you. Are you with me? We're part of the body of Christ. We're not. But we act as if we're club members. We're not club members. We're not. We're in this particular location because that's where God sent us. And it may come a time where he sent us somewhere else. So what? They do it once again to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. The thought, of course, is that of personal discipline. Everything I'm saying here today is trying to move us to the point where we totally let go and let God. God's not waiting for you to be a good person. He'll do all the work. He's just waiting for you to totally surrender. He's waiting for you to Totally surrender to His will, His way, and His word. Totally. Say, Lord, do what you want to do with me. Do it. I understand that because I experienced that. But most of us will not let go like that until things get really, really bad. Most of us. Not all of us. Most of us. Some of us probably grew up in households where you got saved really early. You never had to experience the foolishness. Walking with God demands personal sacrifice. Sacrifice of things not necessarily evil, but which prevents the full devotion of the soul to God, such as pleasures. Walking with God, sometimes you've got to relinquish certain pleasures, such as worldly pursuits. Or it'd be so good if all of us just got to the point where we say, all right, God, all I want is what you want. I know I've been desiring this thing here for so long, but all I want now is what you want. I'm willing to just be led by you and to follow you every day and to do whatever you tell me to do, say whatever you tell me to say, go wherever you tell me to go. And I want to ask this group right here today, are you ready to do that? Are you ready to follow God? Are you ready to follow God? Because God will take you in a direction that you never even thought about going. Believe me, he will. But he has a purpose and he has a plan for all of that. In an age of luxury like this present time, these words have real significance for the serious-minded servant of Christ. And I'm praying every day that everybody in this local assembly becomes serious-minded about Christ. Serious-minded. About Christ, no matter where you're at, where you're living, what you're doing. You see, while serving for God, you won't have daily victories if you don't have a healthy mind, if you don't have a healthy body, if you don't have a healthy spirit. See, we can't train like the world. We can't. We must have discipline in our diets. You can't just eat everything. Oh, I ain't going into all of that. We must have discipline in our body maintenance. We must have discipline in our spiritual development. That's an area where many of us lack. We get saved and we think that's it. Oh no, that's not just it. There's more to it. We must have discipline in our service to God. And then verse 26 again says this. I therefore run, this is Paul, not as uncertainly, so fight I. Not as one that beateth the air. I'm not just doing it just to do something. Hallelujah. You see, we cannot be creatures of bad habits. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Well, you can't. If God had brought you to a local church, and a local church, listen, I'm just using this as an example. A local church service starts at 10, and you're going to show up at 10:15. Hallelujah. That's a bad habit. That's a bad habit. It doesn't have to be your local church. It could be anything. That's a bad habit. So everything we do, we need to do it, listen, in the goodness of God and for the goodness of God. Hello? Are you with me? Maybe you come from a church where the service is at 11 o'clock. So 10 o'clock may be a little early, so you show up at 10:15, 10:20. Hello. Everything we do, we must do it for the glory of God. Everything we do, even in that, even in those little bitty things. Hallelujah. Because once you understand what I'm telling you today for a servant to win for God, you'll understand, listen, we're not here just because we want to go to a church somewhere. We're here because God has told us this is where I want you to be. Does that make sense to anybody? Amen. Come on now. You're not saved so that you can worship the pastor. You're saved so that you can worship God, so that you can follow God, so that you can be led by God. So everything you do got to please God. Everything. You need to get that mindset. I'm going to serve to win this thing. I'm going to serve so that in the end of this thing, God will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Don't you want to hear God say that? God is so good all the time. Hallelujah. God is so good all the time. Everything we do must influence our environment. Everything, 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 everything. I'm going to tell you, what, from now on, you're going to hear those little words. Everything you do must influence your environment. Hallelujah. And when that old habit starts to creep up there, those words will come back to you. And you'll say, no, I can't do that because I've got to influence my environment. Whatever that thing is, you and I are living for God. We're not living to be church members somewhere. Hello? I wish somebody understood this. Amen. Hallelujah. I wish somebody understood this. Amen? Hallelujah. And no matter where you are, you're not there to serve your pastor. I mean, the pastor's put in a leadership position, so leaders lead and other people under them follow, but you're not there to serve your pastor. That's not the reason that you're there. You're there to serve God. You're there to serve God. If God's got you there, he got you there for a purpose and for a plan. Does that make sense to anybody? Every blow we give Satan must hurt him. It's got to hurt him. So when you do whatever God tells you to do, do it with all your heart, all your might, all your soul. Hallelujah. I know I've made Satan mad many times. But everything you do, everything you hurl at Satan, you need to be doing it to hurt him. No, I'm tearing this kingdom down. I'm tearing this. I remember after we first started this ministry, one of the things that God had me do, hallelujah, I wish he hadn't done that. But first thing he had me do is start preaching against Freemasonry in a community that was full of Freemasons. Now, you know I didn't want to do that. There were some folks that got mad. Hallelujah. There's some folks that got mad. There were some top leaders in Masons that moved out of the county. But I had to do what God told me to do. Being an ex-Mason, I understood that. I understood what it was all about. And I knew that 98% of the folks that's in it had not a clue of what they were in. Not a clue. Now, you know I didn't want to do that. I want to come to a little bit of county, little to me at that time, and start teaching against something that a whole bunch of folks was part in. But I've had folks come to me. I've had wives come to me and say, I'm so glad my husband ain't no part of that no more. I'm sure glad somebody said something. Did I want to say something? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But I did. And at first I became known as a preacher that preached against Freemasonry. But a lot of lives will change. I know that personally, a lot of lives will change. And a lot of people who thought they were walking with God, but were walking with the devil instead, listen, change their directions. So a lot of lives would change. Did I want to do it? Absolutely not. But I knew God, and I knew his voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. I can tell you some more stories about that, but I'll do it at a later date. That last verse, verse 27. Says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul summons many to the race of the Christian life through the gospel. Paul had no fear of the judges barring him from participation in the race. A lot of people went against Paul, and a lot of people are going to go against you. You're going to have to decide who you're going to serve. There used to be a secular song by, I think, Bob Dylan. You know, young white boy used to play that hippie music. And the song said, you're going to have to serve somebody. Amen. You ever thought about that? You're going to have to serve somebody. You're going to have to serve somebody. And And contrary to popular belief, you can't serve yourself. You're going to either have to serve God or you're going to have to serve the devil. There's no other choice. There's no other choice. You're going to have to serve somebody. So why don't you just make up in your mind right now? Right now. Right now. The devil will bind you up with so many bondages. So many bondages. So many. And you be thinking it's you doing your own thing. I told that story one time. I told it several times here, you know, about how I was in Memphis, Tennessee in the military, and the devil had bound me up with lust. I didn't understand that at the time. And you won't understand. When the devil got you bound with something, you think you're just doing your thing. But it ain't. It's the devil. Are you with me? It's the devil doing that thing. And I went into the project and knocked on that one lady door that I knew, and she said, boy, what you doing here? She said, you trying to go with every woman in the project. And then she said something that really tricked me. I wasn't saved then, but it really got my mind. She said, boy, something is wrong with you. And it was. It was the devil binding me up with that spirit of lust. I didn't know it then. Hallelujah. But the good news is, I'm going to tell you again, when salvation comes, all that mess goes. That's celebration time, folks. How do we prepare? First of all, we must have a mindset to serve God. Do you have a mindset to serve God? Amen. Do you have a mindset to serve God? Or you just want religion? You just want people to say, yeah, he's a churchgoer. She's a churchgoer. I'm going to tell you something now. Hell is real. Many people that are confessing to be churchgoers, listen, are now eating tuna fish sandwiches in hell if they're eating that. Secondly, we must have a mindset to serve God with all of our hearts. None of this hit and miss stuff. All your heart. You either in or you're out. You either in or you're out. Don't let devil trick you. You're either in or you're out. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell when you stop breathing. There's no other option. So if you're going to serve God, you need to serve him with all your heart. You need to be a fanatic. You need to live for God. Most of us live for ourselves. We want to have a good life. We want to have money. We want to have clothes. We want to have everything that makes life good. But the secret that some of us may not understand is that when you really start living for God, all that stuff follows. It just follows. You don't have to do it. It just follows. You can't even escape it. I'm talking about being serious for God. I'm not talking about being a good church member. And I say it over and over again because it needs to be broken. God's looking for people that'll serve him. We've got too many Christians that's more dedicated to the leadership than they are to God. It's time. Look at somebody, tell them it's time. God is a good God all the time. It is time. Ha! Aren't you glad you're saved? And thirdly, and I'm going to close with this, we must be willing to sacrifice as we serve. What does that mean, preacher? You got to be willing to do what God tells you to do. You got to be willing to say what God tells you to say. You got to be willing to go where God tells you to go. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? Hallelujah. God says, start teaching. Teach about 4 or 5 sessions on serving to win. Today, we just want to talk about how to get started. And the way you get started is making that commitment. Are you with me? So, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes even in relationships, listen, things don't go the way you want them to go. But don't put that relationship with human beings over relationship with God. Anything that's not going right in your life, go to God. Go to God. I want you to tell that to somebody. Go to God. Go to God. And then ask him what to do. And then wait till he tell you. We're trying to fix too many things. Go to God. Go to God. We need to serve to win. We need to serve as if this is going to be our last week on planet Earth. We need to serve like all we want to do is live for God. You do that, and all the things fleshly that you desire will follow. God is a good God, folks. He's a mighty, mighty good God. Are you going to serve God to win?
Amen.
Are you going to serve him to win?
Amen.
All or nothing. Are you with me? God is a good God all the time. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the words that's been said here today. We appreciate you and we love you and we adore you. Now, Lord God, as we move forward, we just ask that you just confirm everything that's been said. Draw us closer to you. Draw us closer to you. We desire to serve you and we desire to win in whatever you call us to do. Now, Lord God, have your way. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. This is the third Sunday.